This is Peter Tobin introducing Lux Radio Theater. Tonight and every Monday night at this time, Lux Radio Theater presents for your entertainment the finest in radio drama. This week we present Collection for Miss Kitteridge by Zelda Mack. It seemed to Ellen Kitteridge, collections around the office were never ending. Someone was always getting married, retiring, or going on a holiday abroad. Miss Kitteridge did a quick mental calculation. She decided if she saved the money she gave towards collections, she too would be able to make a nice trip abroad. All aboard the SS Albemarle for Oceans of Laughs, as a charming card sharp and a working girl on the make mistake one another for just two more millionaire passengers. Collection for Miss Kitteridge has been written for radio by Zelda Mack, produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Glyn Day, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Miss Kitteridge.
What is it, Mr. Ross?
Hull out a little contribution.
Not again. Who is it this time?
Miss Andrews just got engaged. Isn't that lovely?
I suppose it is. For her. Here you are. It's all I've got.
Oh. Well, thank you. Miss Kitteridge, I say, Miss Kitteridge, how about something towards Mr. Marshall's presence?
Don't tell me he got engaged.
Oh, no, no, he's retiring after 35 years with the firm.
35 years?
Hmm.
Well, I guess he deserves something. Here.
Well, thanks, Miss Kitteridge. Oh, Miss Kitteridge. Oh, Miss Kitteridge, do stop typing for a moment.
Go away, Mr. Ross. I'm stony broke.
Oh, don't worry. I can arrange to have your contribution taken out of next month's salary.
Oh, for pity's sake, I can't win. Now, who's having a baby?
Oh, nobody. Miss Marlin is going on a 6-week holiday overseas.
What? Am I supposed to help pay her fare?
Oh, now, Miss Kitteridge, she's been with the firm a long time, and we'd like to give her a nice going-away gift. It's customary, you know.
Oh, I give up. Here, I'll do without lunch. I seem to have lost my appetite anyway.
Oh, thank you, Miss Kitteridge. Oh, and don't forget your birthday tomorrow. You'll be expected to bring cakes for the staff, you remember. There are 93 people all together.
Cakes for 93 people? Trips to Europe? If I added up all the money I've contributed to office collections in my time, I could afford a nice long holiday myself. A trip? Well, why not? Why shouldn't I take one now, while I'm still young enough to enjoy it, and while I still have some savings that haven't been collected for someone else? Mr. Ross?
Yes? Yes, well, what is it, Miss Kitteridge?
I've just handed in my resignation.
Oh? Got a better job, have you?
The truth is, I'm trying to escape from your eternal office collections.
Oh.
They're always for somebody else. Doesn't look like I'll ever be on the winner's side unless I get pregnant.
Miss Kitteridge.
Or wait 25 years until I retire. And by that time, I'll have contributed a small fortune. So I took the money out of my savings account before you got your hands on it.
You resigned because of me?
Hardly. I resigned because I want to live, Mr. Ross. I'm taking a cruise to South America. 38 sun-filled days and nights at sea, with exciting stopovers in Centralina and Rio de Janeiro. Think of it, Mardi Gras in Rio, with all the fun of carnival time. Doesn't it sound wonderful?
It sounds terribly expensive.
Oh, it is, Mr. Ross. It's a luxury cruise designed for millionaires. Maybe I'll even meet one.
Well, I hope so, Miss Kitteridge. You'll need one when it's over and you've spent your last penny. Now, let's see about your going away gift, shall we?
You mean that I'm going to be on the receiving end of an office collection at last.
Well, here are the records. Let's see. Ellen Kittredge joined October 1st, 1970, and this is... Oh, dear, it's only September.
What's the matter, Mr. Ross?
Well, I'm afraid you're not eligible after all. You have to be with us for exactly one calendar year.
I might have known.
Well, never mind. I'll come to the dock personally and wish you bon voyage.
There's the all ashore, Mr. Ross. You'd better leave unless you're planning to stow away.
I've a good mind to do just that after seeing this floating palace. Do you know, I counted 18 cocktail lounges, an Olympic-sized swimming bath, 3 theatres, and, well, every cabin seems to be decked out like a bridal suite. The SS Albemarle has everything, except one thing.
Oh? What's that, Mr. Ross?
The youth to enjoy it. With the exception of yourself, my dear Miss Kittredge, all the passengers seem to have passed the compulsory retirement age decades ago.
Goodbye, Mr. Ross. He's right, darling. There isn't a soul under 70. Oh, well, if I catch a millionaire, what does it matter how old he is? Life can be pretty exciting for a young, wealthy widow. Goodbye! Goodbye!
Oh, my dear child, do be careful or you'll slip and fall overboard before we sail. Is this your first cruise?
Why, yes. How on earth did you know?
Oh, my dear, it's so obvious. As my husband said, like a fledgling learning to fly. I hope you don't mind my talking to you.
Why, of course not.
Arthur and I are cruise veterans. We've gone on one every year for the past 18 years.
How absolutely marvelous.
Well, confidentially, we're a bit bored by now, my dear. But Arthur's tax man insists we go for tax purposes.
Yes, you see, dear child, if we didn't take these trips, we'd have to pay the government the money in taxes.
Yes, yes. And, of course, we'd rather be bored to death than give them all that money.
Oh, yes.
My dear, this is my husband, Arthur Hamilton. I'm Rita.
How do you do?
How do you do, madam?
I'm Ellen. Ellen Kittredge.
Oh, Ellen.
And I guess you know all about the income tax, Dodge, Ellen. Soak the rich is the motto these days. That's why these cruises were invented for people like us. Your parents have no doubt sent you on this trip as a tax evasion, eh?
I'm afraid both my parents died some time ago.
Oh, my dear, what a pity. An orphan.
Well, the moment I saw you, I said to the wife, there's someone who needs our protection.
Yes?
I just knew it.
Yes, protection? Yes, my dear. Sometimes there are all sorts of unscrupulous people on board cruise ships, my dear. Fortune hunters looking for innocent young girls.
And ones that are no longer young.
Yes.
Rich widows who ought to know better.
Quite right. Unscrupulous men on the make looking for millionaireses like yourself.
Oh, we know all about these cruises, Ellen.
Yes.
And the types to watch out for. We'd feel easier if you just had to sort of keep an eye on you. Huh?
That's right. Think of us as your parents, my dear. Oh, you can't imagine the danger lurking for a young girl all alone on a big ship like this.
I can hardly wait. Rita, we've been at sea 2 days, and it looks like my only danger is dying of boredom.
Yes, my dear. It seems like it's going to be a nice, quiet trip this time. I can't say I'm sorry.
Quiet? That's the understatement of the year. The SS Albemarle is like a ghost ship after the evening meal. Everyone's in bed by 8. Look at them. It's 11 in the morning and they're all stretched out on deck chairs, too frail to even hold a conversation.
Yes, I must admit most of the passenger list seems a bit on the elderly side, even for a luxury cruise. But then remember, my dear, they're all millionaires. Spending a lifetime accumulating money can be exhausting business.
If that's the case, it hardly seems worthwhile.
No. Don't be discouraged, Ellen. You must try and enter into things. Do the activities young people do. Now, have you tried the swimming bath?
Not yet.
Well, what are you waiting for? That's where the young people are to be found.
Good old Rita. There are three gorgeous looking men, and I'm the only girl here. I say, are you chaps afraid of getting your feet wet?
It's not that, miss. We're on duty.
Duty?
Yeah. Not allowed to swim for pleasure. Company rule. Positively no mixing with the passengers. We're only lifeguards.
Don't take it to heart, Ellen. Even if there were only lifeguards in the swimming pool. I've good news. There's a dance tonight, and we're invited to the captain's table. I've no doubt that he'll ask you for the very first dance.
Thank you, Miss Kittredge.
A pleasure, Captain Evans.
I say, what's this dance called?
Oh, that's a frog.
Dreadful name. I say, do you think you would teach it to me?
Aye, aye, sir. 1, 2, 3. Bend your knees more. That's it. Twist from the hips, like this.
Oh,
Captain, what's wrong? Oh. Why, you doubled over like that.
I think my back is broken.
Oh, don't worry, Ellen. They say Captain Evans will be able to get out of bed in a few days. I'm afraid, though, he's given orders that none of his officers are to dance with you unless they want to land up in the brig.
I'm about ready to write off this trip as a dead loss, Rita. 7 days at sea, and the only male passengers under 70 are in the ship's nursery, playing with alphabet blocks.
Don't fret, my dear. It's better than having to dodge fortune hunters and gigolos.
Is it? Oh, well, at least I'm enjoying the food. Too much so. I'm going to the gym for a workout and see if I can lose some of the fat I've put on. See you later. One, two, three, bend. One, two, three, bend. Oh!
Good heavens. Are you hurt?
Oh, no. I just couldn't hold that barbell another moment longer.
Oh, well, as long as you didn't drop it on your toes, I guess it's all right.
Say, what are you doing here?
I might ask you that question. Ladies are only supposed to use the gym in the mornings.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be rude. I thought you were the attendant.
I'm a passenger.
So am I. I didn't think anyone would mind my using the gym at any hour. All the passengers seem bedridden or confined to wheelchairs. Except you.
Yes. And you.
Funny. I never noticed you before.
I eat with the early sitting. It gives me more time for cards in the evening.
Cards? Oh. I play a mean game of gin rummy.
I'm afraid bridge is my game. We got a fairly steady little group of players, all set for practically the whole trip.
Oh.
Of course, I didn't realize there was anyone so young on board, or I'd have saved some time for dancing. Hey, there's a dance tonight. I could sneak out while I'm dummy. Will you be there?
Someone who's not bedridden. I forgot to ask his name.
Oh, well, it wouldn't make any difference if you had, my dear. Men like that seldom travel under their real name.
Why, what do you mean?
He's a fortune hunter. No doubt of that. travelling under an alias.
But how can you be so sure when you've never seen him?
Oh, it all adds up, dear child. A handsome young man, presumably single.
I never thought to ask.
Oh, well, like as not, he wouldn't have told you the truth anyway. His kind never does.
Hiding away from the crowd, playing cards every night. Oh, yes, it all adds up.
Adds up to what?
He's a card sharp.
No doubt.
All his bridge partners are wealthy widows and divorcees, I'll bet.
Yes, whose bridge is only so-so, but whose bank accounts are first class.
They lose heavily, and not only at the gaming table.
No, no, indeed. The companionship of a young, good-looking escort comes high in a cruise like this, where the women outnumber the men 10 to 1.
Yes, and he knows it.
Of course.
He's on the Albemarle for one purpose only.
To prey on rich women. Make no mistake, Ellen. This young man is after your money.
Then he's in for a terrible shock.
Now, don't you worry, Ellen. We'll keep an eye on him.
Who are the dragons?
What?
The two dragons appointed to guard you. They haven't taken their eyes off me since we got onto the dance floor.
Oh, you noticed them.
How could I miss them? They've been sending daggers my way for the past 10 minutes. I know the type. Think everyone's after their money.
In this case, they think you're after mine.
Oh, they do, do they?
I enjoyed that. I'm so glad you're dummy again.
So am I.
I don't know anything about bridge. Is being dummy a good thing?
I don't know yet. The game's not over.
Oh. Do you know? I don't even know your name.
It's Robin.
Robin? Robin what?
Is it important?
Not really. I'm Ellen.
I'm glad we met, Ellen.
Even if I don't play bridge?
I'm glad you don't.
Oh? I thought you might teach me.
Never.
But I thought you'd like it. Otherwise, why play cards every night?
Because I can't help myself. It's a bit like a drink. It gets hold of a man.
You mean you're a gambler?
I suppose that's as good a name as any. At any rate, I can't give it up, Ellen. Don't ask me to. And I don't want you mixed up in it. I like you just as you are.
That doesn't give us much time together, does it? I mean, if you've got your bridge game set for every afternoon and evening, and I can't play,
I just have to try and be dummy as often as possible. Oh, Ellen, Ellen, don't look so sad. In just 2 more days, we'll be in Rio. We'll go swimming at Copacabana Beach every day and dance all night.
No more bridge games?
No, not while we're in Rio, I promise you. But you'll have to promise me you'll shake those 2 bloodhounds, Rita and Arthur, off our backs.
I said.
What? Oh, I'm sorry, Rita. What was it you said?
Well, I was talking about tomorrow, my dear, when we dock in Rio. Arthur says he'll hire a taxi to take us shopping before lunch.
Oh, but I promised Robin I'd spend the day with him at Copacabana Beach.
Robin? Robin? Robin who, dear child? Oh, do you mean that smooth-talking gigolo who won't tell you his family name?
I'm sure you're wrong about him, Rita.
Oh, no,
my dear. The fact that he wants to remain incognito could just as well be because he's rich.
Oh, you poor innocent child. If you don't watch out, you'll lose a lot more than those stars in your eyes. Promise me one thing, Ellen, won't you, my dear? Promise me you won't give him any money.
Very well. I promise I won't give him a single crucero.
Ellen, can you lend me a few cruceros? I don't want to break a bill for these soft drinks.
Oh, of course, Robin. I've got some change in my beach jacket.
Oh, Ellen, Ellen, you promised not a single crucero.
Rita, but heaven's sake, where did you come from?
Arthur and I have been keeping an eye on you from under that beach umbrella.
Of all the dirty-minded spies. Come along, Ellen. You'll swim out to sea.
Oh, Arthur, Arthur, come quickly. Bring the water wings. It's our duty to protect that poor, misguided child.
magnificent view. I've dreamed of this moment all my life. Looking down from Sugarloaf with all of Rio at my feet.
Ella!
But not those fleas from the Albemarle in your ears. It's the Hamiltons again.
Oh, no.
Oh, this attitude. Oh, yes. It's making me quite dizzy, Mayor.
And I
feel I must lean on something for a moment.
How about this ledge over here? Oh. It's only 1,200 feet to the bottom.
Oh, no, I can't bear to look.
Quick, Ellen, while their eyes are closed, we'll make our escape. Voodoo. Many Brazilians still believe in it and practice it. They say it has its roots in darkest Africa.
I can well believe it. It sends shivers up my spine.
Yeah, mine too.
The people look as if they're in a trance, as if spirits are possessed. Evil spirits.
Yes.
Oh, Robin, look at that woman coming towards us in that horrible mask.
Under a spell, dear child.
Oh, saints, preserve us. That's no masked voodoo spirit. It's a real-life witch. It's Rita Hamilton. Run for your life, Ellen.
No!
Marvelous idea, Robin. Catching that plane for Brasilia.
Yes.
Of course, only the very rich can afford such a gesture.
Or the very desperate. I had to shake off the Hamiltons somehow, and this time I succeeded.
Thank goodness. This is heaven. Brasilia is such a mixture of the raw, untamed jungle and the most modern buildings in the world. I'm glad we decided on a picnic lunch.
Yes. Here in Brasilia, you can still taste the best of both worlds. All the mystery of primitive, unspoiled nature in its most luxuriant form, and the very latest that modern technological genius can produce.
At the moment, I'm content to just relax and let nature take over.
Make the most of it. Slowly, slowly, even the jungle's being taken over by civilization.
No, not yet. Not quite. It's so peaceful here. And yet, if you listen carefully, you can hear thousands of sounds. Even the earth seems to have a heartbeat. It's as if we were sitting near the center that keeps the whole world alive. I remember reading Green Mansions years ago when I was still in school. And now here I am in almost the same setting. Isn't that a bird of paradise?
Any bird who lives here is in paradise.
It's the way I feel. As if I'd come back to the Garden of Eden. Robin, have you been here before?
Oh, several times. That's how I noticed the jungle slowly being pushed back.
Were you here with the Albemarle?
No, I've been with a lot of cruise ships.
You must have tons of money.
Ugh, nonsense. I put it down as a business expense.
Like the Hamiltons. Tax evasion.
Oh, no, nothing of the kind. It's my career.
What, taking cruises? That's a strange calling for an able-bodied young man.
Well, we can't all choose the careers we want. Of course, you wouldn't know about such things, being the spoiled, pampered darling of some millionaire mining magnate of a father.
Is that what you think? And what if I wasn't? Would it matter? Would you have spent the last 2 days with me? Not to mention all that money to charter a plane to Brasilia.
It's been worth every penny.
Do you mean that?
Yes, I do.
Robin. Darling. All that money on me. Why, it must have cost you all your bridge winnings and then some.
Never mind. Make it up on the return voyage.
Playing cards again, I suppose.
Does it bother you that much?
I'm jealous at having to share you.
With all those old ladies.
I don't much relish the thought of being a... What's the equivalent of a golfer's widow? A gambling widow?
Gambling? Well, Ellen, this is more like... It's like taking up a collection, if you know what I mean.
Oh, boy, do I. I'm an escapee from office collections myself.
Office collections? You?
There. Now you know my dreadful secret. The frustrating bit about those collections is that I was never on the receiving end.
Ah, a fatal error. I always make sure that I am. That's how I can get away and escape to a paradise like this for a while every now and then. Sometimes I think I'll never go back. Leave the world of glass and machines and gambling back there at the jungle's edge. That's the real jungle. And this green paradise is the real world.
Why don't you?
Gambling fever, I guess. Right now, I could be content for the rest of my days to escape into a Brazilian jungle and listen to the birds and pick the strange exotic fruits that grow with you.
Oh, Robin.
Except that it takes money to make even a simple dream like that come true. Come, my love, or we'll miss the flight back to Rio.
We were just beginning to know one another.
What more do we need to know?
I only know that you're a very rich man.
Of course. We're all millionaires in this paradise of the jungle. But the time has come, my love, to return to so-called civilization, to Rio, and the first night of Mardi Gras.
Oh, I'd almost forgotten. It's carnival time. Yes. And everyone will be in costume pretending to be somebody else. What will you go as, Robin?
A millionaire. And you?
A millionaireess. What else?
Take my hand, Ellen, or we'll be separated in this crowd.
All right, Robin.
Uh-oh, I see the dragons following. Quick, there's a cafe over there. Just in time. Two rum sours, please. Something to eat, Ellen?
No, thanks.
Well, we can relax. Oh, no.
What is it? Have the dragons followed us?
No, it's not the Hamiltons this time.
George, there you are. Where have you been hiding since we landed in Rio?
I thought you might be tired of playing cards.
Silly boy. There are other things to do in Rio besides play bridge. Or perhaps you've forgotten.
Forgotten?
Your promise, dear boy, your promise. You and I had a date. You were going to show me all the most romantic spots in Rio.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid I got rather tied up.
So I see. Aren't you going to introduce me?
Oh, yes. Ellen, this is Mrs. Abernathy. Mrs. Walter Abernathy.
Tina, dear boy. Have you forgotten your pet name for me, too? How do you do? Can't, I'm sure. Do you play cards, madame?
I prefer swimming and dancing to the more senile deck sports.
Too happy to hear it. Then our little foursome can continue just as soon as the Albemarle lifts anchor, can't it, George?
Well,
oh, by the way, darling boy, I have some divine steps to show you what I learned in Rio. I don't only play bridge, Miss Ellen. See you tomorrow night, George, dear. 7:30 as usual.
As usual.
Oh, talk about dragons.
You showed a few claws yourself.
Well, at least I haven't shown another face.
Meaning? Just what?
Meaning it's time you took off your mask. Robin or George or whoever you are.
Why are you acting like this? I didn't take Mrs. Abernathy to Brasilia.
Maybe you regret it now that you know I'm not the daughter of a millionaire. Think of all the time you wasted when you could have been showing Mrs. Abernathy romantic Rio. Goodness knows how many romantic nights at sea you two have shared while I thought you were playing bridge.
Is that what you think of me?
How do I know what to think? She called you George. Just who are you?
I told you my name. Don't you believe me?
Frankly, no.
It's Robin, as I told you. Robin Hood.
What? Don't be ridiculous.
I suppose you could have believed me if I told you my name was George Hood, as I told Mrs. Abernathy. Now, can I help it if my real name is Robin Hood?
A Robin Hood armed with a deck of cards instead of bow and arrows. Is that it?
Well, I do rob the rich. That's how I make a living. That's why I take floating old folks' homes like the Albemarle. This is a business trip for me. My clients are rich widows and divorcees like Mrs. Abernathy.
And I was supposed to be another client.
Is that what you think? Well, it serves me right for trying to mix business with pleasure. No, Ellen, I never thought of you as a client. I wouldn't even, if you remember, teach you to play bridge. But I see I've wasted my time.
Don't say I didn't try and warn you. I never pretended to be a millionaireess. At least, not until tonight.
I don't think I've seen you smile since we left Rio.
It's the letdown of having to go home.
Oh, nonsense. It's that fortune hunter you're still moping about.
I wish you'd stop calling him that. He obviously wasn't after my money.
Oh, don't you be too sure, my dear. We've a week until we land in Cape Town, and he can still try something.
I only wish he would.
What?
I don't care what his game is. It's a darn sight more interesting than anything else going on aboard this museum.
Ellen!
Do you think I enjoy being bored to death? Dining with you and Arthur every night and talking taxes.
Oh, but,
dancing the two-step with that fat, red-faced captain.
Oh, Captain Evans is a charming man.
Oh, yes, all the passengers are charming, but they're also practically moribund. Oh. And you and your busybody husband are doing everything to keep me away from the sole passenger who's alive and interesting.
Well, I never. Oh, of all the ungrateful things to say to me.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I think I'm a bit overwrought.
Oh, I should say you are. But I'm not going to stand by and see you exploited this way. I'm going to Captain Evans and get him to find out once and for all who this Robin fellow is. Oh, Robin, indeed. Ah, Ellen, there you are. Hood.
Huh?
He's known as the seagoing Robin Hood.
Of course. That happens to be his name.
You mean you knew? Oh, well, that's not important. What is important is that he's a crook. He travels under an alias, George Hood. He's well known on all the cruise lines.
He preys on the rich, rich women.
And Captain Evans has promised to keep a sharp eye on him until we dock in Cape Town.
Oh, dear. I know you mean well, but I'm sorry about the whole thing.
Oh, well, I'm not. And not just for your sake. Think about the poor innocent widows and divorcees he's been taking for a ride at the bridge table every night.
They've had the pleasure of his company in return, and it's not as though they couldn't afford it.
Nonsense, child. Rita is right. How would you feel if he'd taken your money?
Well, he didn't.
Because we were watching.
Yes, how naive you are, Ellen.
It's a good thing we found him out.
Oh, dear. I think the child is still infatuated with him, Arthur. Even now, Ellen, you'll lose your head and do something silly.
I suppose I am silly, but I've got to warn him. Where are you, Robin? All these card games going on, but not a sign of you. Uh-oh. There's that awful Mrs. Abernathy. Too late. She's seen me.
Yoo-hoo! I say, Ellen, were you looking for someone?
Oh, why, Mrs. Abernathy. Yes, I was. I thought perhaps Robin, George, was in the card room.
Why, my dear, haven't you heard? That young man is nothing but a card sharp. No wonder he won so much money from all of us. We've been put on our guard by the purser, and he can't get a game anymore. And the captain, bless him, is having him watched. Dare say he ought to be in leg irons.
He might be a card sharp, but that doesn't make him a crook. He just plays a better game. No one's proved he's cheated.
More's the pity they've nothing to pin on him. I'm afraid it's broken up your little shipboard romance, my dear. But it's all for the best. Obviously, it wasn't you he was interested in. Only your money. Oh, it's my bill, then. Two of your cups.
Just a minute, Mrs. Abernathy.
Did you say something?
It's Robin or George. Any worse than a lot of you?
Why, what do you mean?
The way all of you are cheating the tax people, you'll do anything to avoid paying taxes that you can all quite easily afford. It's downright dishonest.
Well, I never. All the cheat.
It's the truth. And while we're on the subject, do you ever pay taxes on your bridge winnings?
Penny for your nose.
What? Oh, it's you. Just a penny. Petty stakes for a big-time gambler.
Suppose you heard the news. It's all over the ship now.
Yes. I'm sorry. It was the dragons, of course.
I figured as much. Anyway, don't waste your tears. Everything's all right. I've put enough away from this cruise already to see me through another.
You mean you're taking another cruise like this?
Of course. It's the only work I'm cut out for.
I envy you. I really do. I'm only a poor working girl who spent her last penny on this trip in hopes of finding a millionaire.
Well, sorry you wasted your time on me.
You put on a good act, chartering a plane to Brasilia. I thought you had to be a millionaire to do that.
So you were only interested in my money. That's a good one.
Well, weren't you interested in mine? Didn't you assume that I was rich?
Of course. And I concluded it would never work out, you and I. I mean, all that money between us.
And now that you know I'm only a poor working girl?
Still wouldn't work.
Oh. I was hoping you might fit me into your act.
You're much too nice for this kind of life. Besides, I'm leaving the ship tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Mm.
But we're still 4 days from Cape Town.
I'm going ashore at St. Helena. I spend a few days relaxing, and then catch the next cruise ship that stops there. I've already booked.
You haven't?
I have. She's the Barracuda, leaving Cape Town the day after the Albemarle docks. I board her at St. Helena. She's brand new, beautiful, they say, and bursting with millionaires.
How I wish I could be on it.
Ellen. Ellen, my dear, why are you crying?
Oh, Rita, I can't bear it. I'm stony broke.
Broke? But how is that possible, my dear? I mean, even if you were foolish enough to give money to that gigolo.
Oh, Rita.
Oh, you have given him money. Oh, there, there, dear. After all, you've learned your lesson. And you won't do it again. In future, be careful of your money.
But that's just it. I haven't any money.
What?
I'm not a millionaireess. Just a poor working girl. Oh. This cruise cost every penny I had.
You poor thing. To have to work for a living and then have a rotter go off with your hard-earned cash. Oh, it's nearly as bad as giving it to the tax collectors. Oh, how perfectly dreadful. I'm going to speak to Arthur about it right now. I'm sure he'll think of something. Now, don't do anything desperate, my dear. We'll find a way out. Just
Rita! Rita! What's the use? She gets a positive pleasure thinking I gave Robin money. She'd never believe I didn't, no matter how many times I deny it. As for being desperate, I'll be desperate for a job once we dock in Cape Town.
Oh, Miss Kittredge, over here. Oh, Miss Kittredge.
Why, Mr. Ross. Fancy you coming to meet the ship.
I confess I had an ulterior motive, Miss Kittredge. It is still Miss Kittredge, isn't it?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes, I gathered as much when I didn't see you come down the gangplank on the arm of a millionaire. So you didn't catch one after all.
I guess I just didn't have the heart to chase such a fragile old man. It hardly seemed fair.
Oh, dear. Well, I can't say I'm sorry. Actually, I came down here hoping to find you still single and broke.
I won't disappoint you on either score, Mr. Ross.
Oh, splendid. Then you may be interested in having your old job back. Hmm?
Why? What happened to my replacement?
Oh, well, she got engaged.
After a suitable office collection that no doubt paid for her honeymoon.
Well,
some people have all the luck.
Then you come back to work for us?
I didn't think I was that unlucky.
Oh, come now. I'll see that you don't lose seniority.
That seems to be all I've gained, getting a little bit older. All right. I really haven't much choice.
Oh, Ellen! Ellen! Oh, we'll be searching the ship for you, my dear child.
I'm sorry, I should have said goodbye. But I didn't think you'd want to see me after all that happened and the things I said. After all, I'm just one of the faceless workers of the world again.
Oh, but that's just it, Ellen. You won't have to go to work. Well, at least not right away. I just knew Arthur would think of a way out.
Ah, yes, my dear. There's no need to cry anymore.
No.
Why, what do you mean?
Oh, well, when I told Arthur how you lost all your money to that fortune hunter...
But I didn't.
Now, child. Oh, it's not easy to admit when you've been made to look silly. However, I'm sure this will help you to get over the hurt.
What is it?
A check for nearly 2,000 rand.
2,000 rand? How did you get 2,000 rand?
Ah, whipped round the passenger list as soon as I heard. Took up a collection.
Yes.
They always did that around my law office when anyone needed a bit of help or a gift. Almost every passenger chipped in with at least a tenner. Glad to help a pretty young thing who fell victim to that awful scoundrel.
He's not a... Oh, well... I guess he was a rogue after all.
Yes, my dear, and you don't have to go to work for ages. Isn't that marvelous?
It certainly is. I just don't know how to thank you. You've been wonderful, both of you.
Well, we said we'd look after you, and we have.
Yes, yes.
2,000 rand? What are you going to do with all that money, Miss Kittredge?
First, resign from my old job all over again, Mr. Ross, and then...
Yes, dear child?
Then I'm going to take another cruise, of course.
Miss Kittredge, be reasonable. You've only just got back from one cruise that left you broke.
Broke? I hardly call 2,000 rand being broke.
But you're blowing it all now on this other trip. The SS Barracuda is even more of a luxury cruiser than the Albemarle. It's a super cruise ship.
Good. Then all the passengers will be super millionaires.
And super octogenarians. Oh, be sensible, my dear. Cancel your passage before it's too late. You can't catch a millionaire on this ship any easier than on the Albemarle. They're even more decrepit. I haven't seen a passenger under 80.
Well, I know at least one who is.
Where?
He hasn't boarded yet. He won't until we get to Centralina.
Well, I confess I don't understand. For 2,000 rand, you had a nice little nest egg and the security of your old job bag.
And your interminable office connections to nibble away at that nest egg.
Well.
No thanks, Mr. Ross. I want some romance in my life.
Well, yes, quite right. Miss Kittredge, that's to say, Ellen, I'm still single.
Why? Mr. Ross, is this a proposal?
I realize it must seem sudden, my dear, but I've always had an eye on you. Now, that 2,000 rand would make a deposit on a good house. A sensible investment for any couple.
To say nothing of your ability to wheedle a really handsome gift from the firm with an office collection.
Well, I have been with the firm for nearly 12 years, you know. What do you say, Miss Kittredge?
I say no, Mr. Ross.
Oh.
Finally and firmly, no.
Oh, but Ellen, Miss Kittredge, you can't expect to go on like this forever, you know, taking one cruise after another, taking up collections among the passengers.
Why not? You're doing it all the time. I think it might be a lot better than slaving away in an office, or even marriage to you, Mr. Ross. I'm sorry, but you're too like an office machine yourself.
Oh.
There's the last one ashore. You'd better leave, Mr. Ross.
Well,
Very well. Well, bon voyage, Miss Kittredge. No hard feelings?
No hard feelings.
Oh, good. Goodbye. Goodbye. $2,000. Why, I've never come near that with an office connection. I've half a mind to stow away and see how it's done.
Attention, please. Attention, please. Passengers must remain on board while the ship is in Centralina. All passengers embarking at Centralina, kindly see the chief purser to make dining room arrangements. Thank you.
Oh!
You might look where you're going.
I'm sorry. Good heavens, it's Ellen. Ellen Kittredge. What are you doing aboard the Barracuda?
Pursuing my new career. You mustn't give me away. Come over here and I'll tell you all about it.
Right. What's all this about a new career? And then how do you get on board the ship?
Stop one question at a time, if you please, Robin Hood.
No, it's George while on board the Barracuda.
Up to your old tricks, are you?
And you, young lady, are apparently up to some new ones.
Yes, thanks to the dragons.
You mean Arthur and Rita Hamilton?
The very same. Those darling busybodies thought you'd not only jilted me, but robbed me of my life savings.
You little fraud.
I tried telling Rita the truth, but she kept jumping to conclusions. All she believed was that I wasn't rich and that I had to go to work.
I bet she couldn't bear the thought.
No more than I could.
This begins to sound like larceny.
I swear I only told the truth. You don't have to say anything to some people. They like filling in the blanks for themselves. Besides, what she and Arthur did for me was no more grand larceny than their running away to sea to avoid taxes. All the office collections I've had to face all these years.
What did they do?
Organized a collection for me. Think of it. A grand whip around among 300 millionaires. All for poor, innocent little me. I received a check for nearly 2,000 rand.
Ellen, that's fantastic. I mean, it's more than I made on board the Albemarle.
Of course, you were prevented from practicing your talents for most of the return voyage. But when you consider I made that 2,000 rand without having to work every evening for all those old ladies...
Will you please stop making it sound so sordid? Still, I must admit you did pretty well for an amateur.
Amateur? Is that all you think of me?
As a matter of fact, Ellen, I've been thinking of you a lot. You've never been out of my mind the whole 2 weeks I spent on St. Helena.
Do you mean that?
Yes.
Maybe you can find a place for me in your act after all.
A place? You deserve a full partnership.
Oh, Robin.
On one condition. No more collections. Or card playing either. Because suddenly I don't like the character I'm supposed to be playing. This partnership's a real one, Ellen. For life.
Oh, Robin. Still, I don't think just one more collection would hurt.
Ellen, I forbid it.
No, this time it's legitimate. We announce our engagement just before we're due to land. And of course, they'll make a collection for an engagement gift. Just like Mr. Ross is always taking up at the office. Only he never had a ship's complement of millionaires to work on.
Ellen? Are incorrigible.
We will have enough to put a down payment on a fazenda in Brazil.
Tonight's Lux Radio Theatre presentation of Collection for Miss Kitteridge by Zelda Mack. You heard Sally Ducrow as Ellen Kitteridge, Valerie Miller Brown as Rita Hamilton, James Irwin as Arthur Hamilton, with Jack Claff as Robin alias George Hood, Lorna Cowell as Mrs. Abernathy, Peter Lee Hunt as Mr. Ross, and Reg Richards as Captain Evans. Collection for Miss Kitteridge was written for radio by Zelda Mack, produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Glyn Day, and directed by Henry Diffenthal. This is your Lux Radio Theatre host, Peter Tobin, bidding you all good night.